I would like to thank the organizers for inviting me. Bruce is a dear friend of mine, and I'm very happy to be here today. So we're going to be working. Can you hear in the back? It's okay? Yeah? So according to, yeah. Or an algebraically closed field, and I'm going to assume is of characteristic 0, and we're going to fix a finite dimensional simple and therefore central algebra. So I will be partial to Lie algebras, but I know there is a Jordan following in the audience, so feel free to use a Jordan algebra. And we're also going to fix a commutative associative unital algebra R. And what I want to discuss with you today is a class of algebras, which I'm going to denote by FAR. And what they are algebras L over R, this base ring that we fixed, so they could be Lie algebras and so on, such that when we tensor L with some S over R, what we get is A tensor S. This is tensor product over K, and this is for some extension SR, commutative, associative, and so on. And if I were not to say anything else at this point, this would be a very boring question. So I'm going to just put one assumption in here. And following the German tradition, I'm going to give the talk in English, but use the French abbreviation. So this extension has to be faithfully flat and finitely presented. It doesn't matter if you don't know what it is. The point is that we're putting some restriction on the extension. We don't allow any extension to take place. So an example of this, for example, is Sumaya algebras. Over R, so in this case it will take A to be a matrix algebra. And the other example that we have in mind is multi-loop algebras. So I'm going to cheat here, and Michael Lau was kind enough to, by now, people have defined everything I need, which is very nice. So there are the multi-loop algebras. So you fix, there are two rings, so R is Rn in this case, the Laurent polynomials, and we have this ring extension, which is one of these extensions that we're talking about. And you take automorphisms of the algebra, finite order, that commute to each other. There is a bracket missing after the definition of the common eigenspaces. And then you pair, so you have the simultaneous eigenspaces, and you pair it with certain powers of T. And you get something that fits inside A tensor S. But you see that when you multiply by T to the I for some of the variables that you're using, you're still in L. So this indeed is an algebra of Laurent polynomials. And when you tensor with this ring extension, it splits apart. It just becomes A. But really, one ought to think of this as this. So what we have is two algebras over Rn that become the same when we go to this extension. So there is a philosophy for classifying those things, which maybe I will leave here. So isomorphism classes, so R isomorphism classes in FAR. So there is a beautiful theory for measuring that, of which I'm going to say very little except for examples. So this is non-abelian flat cohomology, or a tile if you wish, we could do either thing, and I'm going to refer to this for brevity. There is a lot of stuff going on in here. There is some beautiful mathematics. And just to capture everything that is going on, I'm just going to use the expression sen of torsors. And I'm going to, this, the objects that live here are usually called torsors, so this is where the terminology comes from. Rather than defining these things, let me just give you some examples. So let's say that we try to compute this. So take function field in n variables and GLN. Well, this actually, you all know what it is. You could use any field in here, and this is nothing but Hilbert 90. So now let me do a small variation. Well, this is not so easy anymore. Now, you could try to do this with cocycles, but this is definitely the wrong point of view. You should actually try to think of this. Instead of algebras, now for modules. So what is GLN? GLN is the group of automorphisms of the free module of rank n. So this philosophy tells you what this is measuring is modules over R that become free of rank n in this extension. And this is where the control of extension is crucial. You cannot say that the module downstairs is free, but you can say that it's projective, because extension is faithfully flat. So projective descends. And then you can use Suslin-Quillen. Every projective module over this ring is free. So this was the so-called Serre conjecture, which in fact he never stated as a conjecture, but that is the result. Now, so I used 7 minutes already. I have to decide what to do. Okay, well, there is a lemma that I want to mention, which maybe should be called the Allison lemma, because he certainly is the person that taught me this. But it's quite useful, which is the following. There is a natural map from R into the center of L, because L is an R module, so you can multiply by R and this commutes from multiplication. So this is canonical. And the fact is that this is an isomorphism. So this is very, very important, because you see, the cohomology, as we're going to see, allows you to understand these things over R. But at the end of the day, you want to understand things over K. And this is the thing that allows you to pass from R to K, because you can recover R somehow from L. It's nothing but the centroid. And so I was told by, for example, Berman, that in every talk there should be a proof. So I'm actually going to prove this. And I give a complete proof. And that's it. So it's exactly the same game than before. You see, certainly, this module is projective, so you can inject R into here. What happens when you go to S? Well, what is the centroid of A for S? We know by Ben Carmody that the center is nothing but S. So these two guys, when you go to S, become the same. So they were the same to begin with. So it's the same philosophy. Now, so my objective is to try to convince you that this is an interesting class of algebra. So it contains a multiloop, and now I want to concentrate mostly on the toroidal case. There are some very nice applications in general to automorphisms and so on, but I'm going to bypass that. So in this case, R is Rn as above. And the I forgot something absolutely crucial. I'm very, very sorry. This is a joint work with Philippe Gill. I'm very, very sorry about that. I apologize. So the first result that we have is we can actually have some more control over S. In fact, in this situation, so this is something very special about this ring, every L in here is what is called isotrivial. So we're sort of borrowing this terminology. But what I want to say is the following, that you can actually split L in a very nice extension. So in fact, you can take, this is a finite Galois extension. And that one will split it for some d. So there is very good control. And the next thing I want to do is as further motivation. So I had a plan to convince you, just like John Kerry. You know, there was on the debate, he always had a plan. I guess it didn't work very well. So my plan was now to recall this result that Michael Lau mentioned yesterday of Bruce Allison, Steve Berman, John Faulkner, and myself, which actually he was too ambitious. He said a little bit more than what we have. So So it's a relation between centerless cores and multiloop algebras, because I want to point out that the centerless cores appear exactly here because they are multiloop algebras, and the result is the following. So you say he said 2005, but really all we can say is 2000 and n for n larger or equal than 5. The rest of the result was okay. So what you have is that these multiloop algebras account for centerless cores, except for things that are very well understood. So the picture that we have is the following. So we have the centerless cores, and then we know by Nair how to go there and construct ELAs. Now this tells you that really in here what you have is multiloops. And we know that multi-loops are forms. So they correspond to some part of H1, which I'm going to call H1 loop. Of R and automorphisms of R. And this sits inside the full H1. And is somehow this map that I want to talk to you about a little bit. So for historical reasons, as well as for motivation, I want to talk the case n equal to 0 is very easy. I want to talk about the case n equal to 1. In general, we have the following picture. So, you know, you have the group of automorphisms of the Lie algebra, which is what we're trying to understand, is a semi-direct product of the adjoint group and the symmetries of the Dinkin diagram. This is what this guy is. So you pass to cohomology and you get that. And it rejects because the sequence actually is split. Now, this is what we're trying to understand. And this part, we understand quite well. Actually, I'm going to do it for n in general. So what I'm saying is not for n equal to 1. So this really, in a sense, corresponds to n tuples of commuting automorphisms in OG modulo the inner action. So n tuples up to conjugation, so to speak. And that's because of the structure of the fundamental group of Rn. So essentially, it's n copies of Z, except that you have to take the profinite completion because there is no exponential map. So I try to understand this to understand. So the point now is what happens in here. So let me give you a beautiful theorem. Due to Steinberg, and this is the third conjecture one. And we'll say the following, that if you have a connected linear algebraic group over function field in one variable, then the H1 is trivial. So, in fact, he proved this for what I call fields of cohomological dimension 1, but the point is that the field that we have is that. Unfortunately, we don't have a field, so we put r equal to 1, so we have Laurent polynomials. So what we need is an analog of this, but for Laurent polynomials. And in fact, one has that, and that's something that I proved a few months ago, which I want, maybe I'll put it here. Because I want to keep these two things. And it says the following. So at first you would think that this is a silly generalization. So you take a reductive group scheme, then H1 is trivial. So if the group G actually came from K, if it was a linear algebraic group, then this is not, there is an easy way out for showing this. But in general, you would have groups which are just groups that exist over R. And first you would think that, why would anyone care about that? So maybe the next example will convince you otherwise. And you have to do some work for these groups that don't come from K. And the consequence of this is the following, that for n equal to 1, these two things actually are the same. And this is the same than conjugacy classes in OG, and this is the same that affine Kac-Moody algebra. So this part is a realization that Victor Kac did. And in fact, if I may mention, in work with Stephen Berman and Bruce Allison, we prove for arbitrary symmetrizable Kac-Moody Lie algebras that you have this type of correspondence using the right thing of this. But this is something much, much stronger. Namely, he's saying that any object of F for n equal to 1 is indeed a loop algebra. We did not assume that L was a loop algebra. All we assume is that it's split in some faithfully flat extension. Well, since we're not that smart, we move to the case n equal to 2. And let's see what happens in there. So I have 10 minutes. That's perfect. Okay. So I'm going to take, in fact, the easiest example that... So now R is running two variables. And I'm going to take G to be SL2. So there is no symmetry of the linking diagram. The automorphism group is PGL2, which, by the way, is also the automorphism group of the 2x2 matrix algebra. So if you look at this, you will see that we can expect in here something between the Lie algebras we're trying to understand and a Sumaya algebra. They should go hand in hand. Well, we can see two Asumai algebras. If you take the thing with trace zero or the derived algebra, you get a Sali algebra, you get the derived algebra, you will get the corresponding algebra. One, of course, is blatant. I'll call it A0. This is nothing but the matrix algebra tensor with R. So the obvious Asumai algebra. The corresponding algebra is SL2 tensor R, so the usual loop algebra. And the other one, well, here everyone will put a name on this, but what it is, so it's generated by X1 and X2, so it's a quaternion algebra. So you have X1 squared is equal to, so XI squared is equal to TI, and X1, X2 is equal to minus X2, X1. By the way, since you are quantum people, this is also the quantum torus based on the matrix 1, minus 1, minus 1, 1. So this algebra also splits when you throw in either X1 or X2. So it splits in a quadratic extension. If you think in terms of, so there's so many ways you can look at this. If you look at the Lie algebra that appears in here, it also has a very nice interpretation. It's the following Lie algebra. You look at the affine Kac-Moody A11. That Dynkin diagram is as follows. This is the not A1, but A11 does have symmetries of the Dynkin diagram. And if you look at the loop algebra constructed using this thing, you get something of nullity 2, because the affine already had nullity 1, and then you do the loop construction and get something of loop, you know, and this is exactly the beast that you will get. But for n equal to 1, you will see as a consequence of this that inner automorphisms always produce trivial loop algebras. But this thing in here, in fact, is also a multi-loop algebra using two automorphisms of SL2, which necessarily have to be inner because there are no automorphisms of SL2. So there are many ways of looking at this algebra. Now, if we try to understand what happens is the following. So now I want to look at this sequence. So the simply connected group maps into the adjoint group, and then we have H2 of R mu 2, and this is inside the two torsion of Brouwer group of R. And you have to take my word that this is only has two elements. So this is a group of order 2. So in here we have A0, or the class of A0, so to speak. And in here you have the class of A1. And what measures, you see, there could be many things in here, and there could be many things in here. And what would measure how many things, so this is the class of 0 and this is the class of 1. What will measure how many things go in here is this guy, but what measures how many things goes in here is not this guy. These are not groups. These are sets with distinguished elements. So to measure what comes from here, you have to twist this group. So what would measure what goes, so these guys will go there, and what measure what goes in here is H1 of a twisted form of this group, which is the group that will be denoted usually by SL1 of the algebra A1 that we have in here. Now, in analogy with this, with the n equal to 1, look at the following result. So this is self-conjecture 2. And there is an illustrious list of people, probably I guess starting with Hilbert for SLN, I suppose will be the first person that proves that. People like Parimalo, Yanguren, Koliot-Telen, Gil, Chernousov. So the result says the following. Suppose that we have a simply connected group over function field in two variables. In fact, self-conjecture 2 will be for essentially function fields of surfaces. This is the only case of the conjecture which is known. Then H1 is trivial. These are groups of simply connected type. And again, we don't have function field. We have been running two variables. So you look at Steinberg, you look at this, you look at self-conjecture 2, and the following result is equal 1. Thank you. Yeah. So you look at these two things, and you look at this, and as I said, the following would seem inevitable. So let's take a simple group scheme, absolutely simply, I mean, in the sense of SGA, simply connected. Then H1 is trivial. So this will mean that we're measuring there is only this guy and only this guy, just exactly as we would expect. And everything, again, is a multi-loop algebra. Now, this theorem is almost right. There is one thing you have to change, which is the following. That is the theorem, not what I wrote before. So this, for us, was completely surprising. In fact, you don't have to go very far. This group does it. So there is indeed another Azumai algebra, or if you wish, another Lie algebra that we don't understand, that I'm going to call M, and some people know why, which appears in there. So it's a very strange object. So I started trying to convince you about this class of algebras, and perhaps I succeeded in saying, okay, look, this is connected to centerless course of ELA. So if we can classify these algebras, we will be in very good shape. And we have cohomology that will help us. You've been through the definition of extended affine algebras and course and torus. This definition is one line. There's no axioms. This is just it. So if one could understand these algebras, I think that would be extremely helpful. But these algebras are throwing things that we don't understand, namely this class of algebra. And let me emphasize that this algebra certainly is not a two-loop algebra, but it's not an iterated loop algebra either. It's really some, because the centroid is not, the centroid in this case is R. And for some of the iterated loop algebras, it would not be. But we do have a positive result, two things, in fact. And that is that if G is split, then this is true. So, for example, the only guy that goes to the trivial one is indeed the trivial loop algebra. So this H1 is trivial. Of course, in this case, it will be easy, but this is for arbitrary split. So this has applications for G2, F4, and E8. It tells you, in fact, that any group scheme over Lorentzian two variables of type G2, F4, and E8 actually split, because the automorphism groups of these groups are themselves. It also tells you, in particular, that any two-loop algebra based on G2, F4, and E8 is necessarily trivial. And finally, and I will finish with this, so the picture that we had . So now you will take an arbitrary simple group, and you will take the simply connected cover, and mu will be the kernel, the center. So the algebras that we're trying to understand are in here. And the hope would be that you can attach something in the Brouwer group, or in, when it will be a product of Brouwer groups in general, that will be an invariant of the algebra. But this object in here is cutting down that hole, because it's telling you that different objects could indeed have the same Brouwer invariant. But something very nice happened, that if you restrict, you see, as I said, this is not a loop algebra. So if you restrict to loop algebra, everything works okay. So we have this. That's the map that is in there, but done for an arbitrary group. And this map actually is bijective. So indeed, it gives an invariant that could be used to differentiate the two loop algebras. Thank you very much. That's all I have to say. Yep. I may have some answers, yeah.
I mean, your theorem says there exists P over R such that.
Yes.
And you have the simplest possible G, which is inside of all other G's. So one might expect that you might be able to look for all G over R.
No. For example, no. I mean, this will